About, and for those taking notes, we're going to call our teaching today Love Influences Our Asking. Love Influences Our Asking. And I'm going to just remind us, because a lot of our teaching is also not only learning more, but it's also a reminder. We need to be reminded. We do forget these things. The Word of God is given in seasons to us. And I always believe that every message that we receive is the right word in the right season. Therefore, it's to do something. And that is to produce its fruit in our lives. But love influences our asking. And I'm going to take this today from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to just look at verses 16 to 23. But I primarily really want to preach from today from verses 20 to 22. But we need to just look into the context of what John is speaking about here. So we'll take it up in 1 John chapter 3. From verse 16 onwards. And this is in the context of where he's speaking about our love must be seen outwardly, not just something that we speak about or it's something we study in theology, but it's also to be expressed, to be lived, and to be shared. So that's really what he's saying here. And he says, by this we know love. So we know it, because he's now going to say, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So he immediately speaks of an attitude of heart, a willingness. And every disciple of Christ, every overcomer, if they haven't, you will be led by the Holy Spirit in your time with God to talk that one out with him and to settle it in your hearts. I can guarantee that if you haven't, you will, because this is the ultimate of our love, because the nature of love many times is sacrificial. And he goes on, but whoever has this world goods and see his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So people who shut their heart to needs, their problem is that the world is too strong in their lives. They love it too much. So if we carry on with this walk, God will get down to the fundamentals within us so that we are willing, when we see a need, to fulfill that if we can, if we're capable, and God moves, obviously, by his Spirit. And it goes on, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth, which is what we've been talking about. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Many liked to believe, because they know the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that they have the truth and know the truth. But it's a little bit more than just that about this truth. This truth is also applied very simply and very practically or practical. So this is what it's telling us. Yes, we have truth, and the truth shall set you free. and we have the revelation of God's word, but unless it is applied in a practical truth, in a practical way, what is that truth? What is truth? You have a head knowledge of theology, but so what? It doesn't mean anything unless you apply it to live it. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on his name, the Son of Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Here we are. So we've looked at that. I've opened up because I think it's important to read that in its context. But I do really want to emphasize on verses 20 to 22. Now, this is all leading toward asking from God. And again, he shows us very clearly how we approach God in asking according to his word. And he speaks here about the heart. Where the heart is. How is the heart before you and God with regard to asking? A very important thing, this, and sometimes we actually ignore it. And this may highlight and show very clearly why at times our prayers don't get answered. Nothing happens. And God is trying to get our attention to the attitude and the motive of the heart as we approach God. Why? Because God knows our hearts. And God is the only one who can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. We all stand naked in his presence. He sees and knows much more about us than we even know of ourselves. That's why the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, as we're told in Hebrews 4, searches deep down into the crevice, into the heart, into the very makeup of each one of us that the human eye cannot see. Only your Maker and Creator can see that about you and I. And that's why he does the work of deliverance, healing, like he is and has been doing over the years. And this is why I'm calling our teaching, love influences our asking. Because God is working with us in this assembly. He's working with the overcomers so that we're moving more and more into a verbal ministry of these last days, where we speak the word. We speak and God will honor that which is spoken. But it can only be spoken out of a pure and right motive and right attitude and relationship with God. And God gives us a clue to this, as we're going to see. We've already read it. How we know whether we're right and we stand right before God or not. And he shows us this. Now, let's just look at some other familiar verses to back this up. We all know these very well, but I'm not going to apologize for repeating myself. But turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a very encouraging book, because there are two major things that come out of his writings, both the Gospel and the Epistles. It's all about relationship, the heart, God's love, and on the other side of it, it's having that confidence in asking of God in prayer. These are tremendous books to build you up in the faith, to believe that you can ask from God in prayer. And the other one, of course, is John 14. Gospel of John 14. And, of course, it's verses 12 2:15, of which he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." And we hold on to the fact that we have not seen yet fully the greater works. It's to come to its completion in the latter rain outpouring, which we are pressing in for, of which we are being prepared for. And I believe that we are seeing some very clear positive signs now that we are not far off with this being accomplished. And it goes on, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Not hit and miss. Not, well, you know, it might do today, but I can't guarantee next week. Not at all. But this is all connected with the heart of the believer. Let's not lose sight of this. And then let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew 7:7. Of which he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And I've preached on that many, many times. So we see something coming up. We see several things. God wants us to ask, and he says, "I will do it." He is saying about the heart. The heart, the attitude of the heart, is essential. And the third thing is, we just looked there about this knocking, which means that sometimes you remain before God until the answer comes. So only the Holy Spirit can work that in our lives, whether it's individually or corporately as a body. We know this as we come together in prayer. Sometimes the Holy Spirit shows us that we're going to have to pray this one for a season. A type of knocking, until we know answer is there, it's on the way. Other times, it's verbally speaking it out, and we know that God has granted it. This is why we have to have the witness of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot know the witness of the Holy Spirit if your heart is not right with God, because that tells you. God communicates so often to our hearts. Well, bearing that in mind, let's go back to our teaching that we're looking at. We're now going to open it up back in the Epistle of John 3, and we're going to look at these verses. And I want to just look at verse 19 and 20. And he says back here in 1 John 3, "And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." You see, there will be times in our hearts where they will condemn us. And this sadly is because we love at times the things of the world, or we love sin. Now, the question is, will I read the signs of that guilt in my heart? That is the question. We know we've all fallen short and we've sinned. But do we read the signs of what our heart is telling us with regard to whatever he's trying to get our attention to? Because this is vital. The reason it is vital, because it's all about your prayer life. It's about you asking in faith from God. If our hearts are not right before God, you cannot release faith. It's impossible. You know, you may say to me, "Well, that sounds very elementary, Pastor." But we can still so overlook this one. This is why I often encourage you to, in your everyday walk with God, to keep those close accounts, to keep in communication with Him. This is why He's baptized you in the Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues. I only had somebody rang me this morning going through a trial and whatever it is. And I said to them, I said, do you speak in tongues? Well, I sort of can, yes. I said, read Jude 20. Wish that believers would speak in those languages. Speak it in your mind. Speak it when you're at work or whatever it is. Because that keeps you close with God. That's the reason He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So that we can keep in communication with God, because it's bypassing the mind. And we know who tries to attack the mind. Satan. So it's a great defense. It's a great builder. It's a great discerner. It works with the heart. It keeps you right with God, so that we don't know any time where we might find a situation, or we might find somebody at work or out in the street suddenly is dropped down dead, and the Holy Spirit in communication said, go over and lay hands on that and rebuke death in them in the name of Jesus. Well, some of you may think, well, that's a big extreme, pastor. You know, I can't believe that would ever happen to me. Well, there's your problem. Why can't it happen to you? You have the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, same as I do and everyone else. In fact, we should be expecting these things.
Amen.
If we are pressing in for this boldness upon us. Another baptism this body requires and needs. We need reviving up. We're getting stale. We're getting too bogged down with the things in the world and the news we hear and what's going on. God said this all going to happen. Didn't you read this? Listen to the psalm this morning that was being read. It's going to happen. Shouldn't be a shock. Whatever it's happening, it should spur us on. And praise God that it is happening before us. But He gives us ways in which we can do this. One of which is that praying in our most holy faith, in the Spirit, as Jude says, in tongues. How else can you pray in the Spirit? There's a lot of Christians have got other theories about it, but that's the only interpretation I know. It's when you move beyond yourself, beyond your own capabilities, beyond your own human language. There are times when human language is not enough. Only the Holy Spirit can bring out those groans and utterances that He requires by the Spirit. So, here we are. And by this we know that we are of the truth. And sure, our hearts before Him. So the truth, can I say today, because we believe we're receiving the truth, we can assure our hearts. We can anchor upon this, what we hear by the anointing, by the unction of the Spirit. It's to encourage us, to assure us, to give you that confidence in your heart that you stand right before Almighty God, so that you can ask by faith in Jesus' name. And I will do it, as He says in His word. And not this hidden mess. But the question is, will I read those signs if the heart is not right? Will it cause me to go before the Lord if I've sinned or fallen short of the standard? You see, if we ignore these promptings, we are hindered in asking. I mean, all of us gone through a phase where it's just, you know, I don't think my prayers are going any higher than the ceiling. I just don't feel, you know, there's needs or whatever it is, and I've asked the Lord, and, you know, it's not happening. And I think most of us have gone through that, and I bet if we look and go deeper, we'll find that our hearts are not confident in his presence. There's something there God is honing in on. You've got to deal with it. And that is one of the best signs when your heart isn't right, because your prayers are being hindered.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening. I know, brothers and sisters, I've gone through this myself. I said I couldn't preach this today because I know the experience of this. Do I really have to think that towards that person? Do I really have to actually think thoughts of love and peace towards that boss at work? Surely not. I mean, you know, he's the worst of libertines. God says you have a right heart, love, attitude, peace towards him. You see? And it may have gone on for months. Just as though festering away, but you ignore it, and suddenly the Holy Spirit highlights. Ah, I can see now. I can see why my prayers are not getting answered. You're showing me my heart is condemning me. I didn't want to read the signs. But he'll show us if we want to. Because answered prayer is very important. Much more important to God than to you. Why? Because it glorifies his name. That's why. We can just fog it off. Oh well, I wasn't in faith, so it doesn't matter. It matters to God. It matters to God that we speak and ask him in faith. Because he says, I will do it. That's his promise. We just don't believe it. But we must not ignore these promptings that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because verse 20 tells us, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. That is why we confess. That is why we get our hearts right before God. Because look what he says here. For God, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater. Greater than your problem. Greater than your sin. Greater than your unloving attitude or whatever it is. I am greater. Therefore, I can deal with it. You've got to come and meet me. And we talk it out. That's what he's saying here. Isn't that a tremendous promise there? When at times our heart, we feel in condemnation, I've done it again, I've missed it, whatever, you know, he says, I'm greater than your heart, because I know all things. That's what he's saying here. And another reason why he's greater than our hearts and everything, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That is what he does. We don't know how many times he has gone before the throne of God to accuse you before Almighty God. But I can assure you he has. Ain't no bounds about it. Here we are. God says, okay, I hear what you say, but I am greater and stronger than their heart. That's what God can say to him. And that's why he can say, okay, go ahead. You can do your mischievous work, but one thing I'll tell you, you will not destroy them. You will not take their salvation. Know the story sounds familiar? Job? And God may have for a season allow that. But there we are. He's greater than our weaknesses and so on. And that is so rewarding, it's such a comfort, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And that's why we are to have confidence in his presence, which he says. And whatever you ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to him. And he says in verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward him. And that is the ultimate work of the Holy Spirit, is to work and work and work with you and I so that you have confidence. You know that God is pleased with your heart, the motive of your heart, and what you are doing and saying. No, we're being perfected, yes, but I'm talking about what our hearts say today. We can't talk about what our heart's going to say tomorrow, or next month, or next year if he tarries. We're talking about today, now. What is my heart? What is my heart saying before Almighty God? What is it? Am I condemned? Or do I stand right before him? Because if you do, then you have the wherewithal, the confidence to come boldly into his presence and ask of him. That's what the scriptures tell us to do. Oh no, Lord, I can't do that. I'm not worthy. I'm such a sinner, and you know those sort of things. You know, well, if that is the case, then get yourself right, because a lot of so-called pious people do that religiously. It's a religious thing. They're not worthy to come into your presence, Lord. We used to have to recite that one when I was in the Anglican Church. Mm-hmm. You know, and I used to think, I was so devout, oh, you know, so humble, and so on, until my eyes were open to it. It's not what it's about. A believer, and particularly an overcomer, is one who comes confidently and stands in the presence of Almighty God. Why? Because you know the scepter has been put out to you, to receive you into his presence. That's why. And that is a knowing. That is an experience. That is a quickening. That is anointing. It's just knowing. Jesus walked in the realm of that anointing. He knew that the scepter was held out, and he could confidently ask of his Father, knowing that he would, through Jesus Christ, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out the demons, and so on. Same principle. But this confidence is because we are obeying him. And that is the key, isn't it? It means that our hearts are not condemning us because I desire to obey the Lord and to keep his commandments. And what are his commandments? To love one another. Love is a command. Thank God he doesn't put commands on a lot of other things. How about him saying, I command you to obey? Oh, we're not so happy with that one, are we? Oh boy. When he says, I command you to obey, but he doesn't say that. He commands us to love. And rightly so. Rightly so. That's the fulfilling of the law, the whole law. But he doesn't say, I command you to obey. He desires that you obey. Because it's that you do from the heart. You want to do. It's a free will. You see, there is the difference. So with that working within us, we have that confidence. You could say, I have a confidence. No, I'm not perfect yet. But the confidence is because I know I want to obey God. I have settled it with him. It is my walk. It's what I experience each day. He's working in me both to will do for his good pleasure. Therefore, that gives you a confidence, a faith that God will bring you to those goals in your life of overcoming, deliverance, and so on. No, it's not to take advantage of it, but we're talking about having this confidence before God with regard to asking. This is why I'm saying with this title that love influences our asking. Because a lot of people say, well, I thought it was faith that influenced. Yes, it does, but faith must work by love. You can't separate any of this, as I think we did a little in the earlier days. Oh, it's you receive by faith, you know? And yes, we do, but it's not giving the whole picture. Because also our faith worketh by love.
Yes.
So you can't separate any of this at all. It all requires, as I remember Brother Freeman saying years and years ago, that faith is like a diamond. You know, I don't know whether you've seen these wonderful chandeliers. I'm talking about a real chandelier, not some of the substitutes you see today, but the real ones that are made out of real lead crystal that you see in these big stately homes. And when they light them up, they are amazing. The fragments of light and color that's reflected from this crystal that goes onto walls and everything, it's just endless. And that is what faith is like. I remember he described that. There's so many aspects to it. You can't just put faith in a box, which we tried to do with our limited knowledge and understanding years back. And what does faith require? The best thing it requires is love. Because that balances it all out. That gives you a confidence to come and stand before Almighty God and ask of Him. You see? You know, I've had the privilege many times to come before Almighty God over the past few years that God will provide for those children in India for the orphanage. There have been times when the money was not there to feed them for that month. But when you are moved in love, because God loves those children far more than ever I can love them or anyone else, when you are motivated in that way, you have a confidence to come ask of God and that He will provide for their needs. And within a matter of days, we have seen God's hand mightily move. Or I get a message through from India, praise God, the Lord's provided. They've got a month's food that's there for them and so on. I cannot tell you the times we have faced that. And yet we have seen the hand of God move in the way He does. And also healings as well. I can't do that, or anyone else, because I've asked others to pray as well, to join me. We can't do that if our hearts condemn us. We can't do that if we are not touched by the mercy and love of God over those dear little children. You feel it almost at times. This love can be so great that it moves you. You almost can... I can't explain. It is such a powerful energy and force that comes from the throne and mercy of God that at times it just overwhelms you, overtakes, and you're able then to speak the word out. To that request before God and us. If I look at my life, and I'm sure you can say the same way, you look and see positive signs of what you have asked in faith of God, I can guarantee you, when you look at that, it's because your heart didn't condemn you, you were moved by the Holy Spirit as He led you, and you asked in faith from Him. It's there. You see it. This is why He gives us these experiences, to show us the difference, you see. Now, I'm not going by feelings, because we know we've had much teaching on that. But many times we can be moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit, which is what His ministry is and is to do, you see. Because it's motivated by the love of God. But this confidence comes because we are obeying Him, we love Him, we desire to serve Him, follow Him, we desire not to compromise, to do his will, his way, and everything. All these things that we're taught about week after week, all of that, the reason we receive teaching like this is so that our hearts can have this confidence in his presence. That's why he does and teaches us like he does. It's for that very purpose. Because he knows what that world is like out there. God knows how strong the spirit of this age is and how it can soon get our attention so quickly and get our eyes off the Lord, and you know, because you've been tempted by it. So, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That pleasing in his sight means that's because we love him. Mm. If you love someone, you want to please them.
Yeah.
You want to go that extra mile. You want to relieve some of that burden. Whatever it would be. That's how relationships are built.
Mm.
And then we come into verse 23, and he says, and this is his commandment, that we should love, believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So there's God's plan, there's his order. It's faith, it's trust in him, that is in Jesus. We're to love one another because love is a command. We've had much, much teaching and much emphasis over the years with regard to faith. And I've watched over the years how God has moved us step by step with regard to our faith teaching and deeper life. And I have watched the stages that he takes us through, the seasons of what he's addressed in our lives. When we first came into this, the thing that he started to do was to show us his greatness, his love. And then he starts to delve into the crevices of our heart and the areas of unbelief.
Mm.
Because he has to move those obstacles, those unbeliefs. And many of those unbeliefs are still open doors into our mind where we still believe in the lies of the enemy.
Mm.
And we have watched over the years how he worked on that and worked on that. And gradually as he works that deliverance, so we then find ourselves moving into another phase, a stage.
Mm.
Where he's then revealing to us, now the next stage I need to do with you is you are going to humble yourself in my presence. It's now a bowing of the knee, because that is the way you get the enemy off your back. So we found ourselves for a very long time where God was addressing pride in our lives, where there still were those doors open so that they needed to be closed. And yes, he's been working that, and he will still continue to work in these areas. And then after that, we started to find God was really emphasizing about his love and unity and fellowship, and that how our faith works by love and so forth. And they're primarily the three things over all these years, how he's been highlighting and working over a period of time. And I believe we're now moving to another period where I believe we're being prepared now for what is to come, and that is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we are moving into a season where it is just for a season. We will see to a certain extent the powers of darkness, the new age and everything being held back for a season. This is what I sense God is revealing to me. For a reason, for God to show his glory, his power to this dying world. And it will be a time and a season where men and women make a choice to decide. Because they will clearly see the powers of darkness, Satan, the Antichrist system coming on the scene is there, and God, in his mercy, visiting and having mercy over a remnant. There will be a seeing of this, I believe, for a season. We are seeing very interesting things happening in the world and politically. We are seeing a revolt of leadership, a disappointment. They have not produced the goods. And you can only keep going on, prophets, false prophets, can only keep prophesying for so long, but if it's not seen, then God judges it in that sense. We're seeing a lot of things in the balance. And we're seeing very unusual things unfolding. And this is why I say, let's keep our minds out of it. Let's just look to the Lord, be in prayer, and watch and pray as we are told to do. And also to pray for Israel, to keep our eyes on there as well. But I believe we are coming to a place now where the Holy Spirit is going to start to visit, he's going to start to move, he's going to start to take over. And this is where we're going to find our training over the years suddenly will start to come into operation. It will start to make sense. Why, in many ways, we have just sat for years listening, taking in the word, praying, building ourselves up in the faith, all these principles that we have labored over for years and years and years. It's like a spiritual army. It's like coming to school. And then we're going to find that, yes, I understand. Yes, I now see how the Holy Spirit's working. I can see what he requires of me and so forth. It won't be that hit and miss. You cannot learn these things in a crash course, which some try to do. You can't. It is a school of waiting. It's a school of where God is molding, working with us. The analogy, of course, the potter and the clay. And a lot of this, I believe, brothers and sisters, is going to start to make sense in that sense. We know that God still works in ways past finding out, but a lot of our preparation, a lot of what we're waiting on, we're going to start to see happening. Because I believe God has heard the prayers and intercessions of the saints. We're in warfare. We are coming against these powers, principalities, and it's like for a season, I believe the hand of God is staying it so that he can have the last final say. And this will be a work of mercy, of grace, compassion. Because when God's hand is finally removed, I'm put it quite bluntly, all hell will be let loose. Believe me. And I sense strongly God is speaking to me now about this. Then it will only be for a season. And so we need to be ready. We need to be pressing in. This isn't the time now where yippee, gush, you know, I can rest now, it's all going to start happening. No. We're still moving forward. We're still being prepared. We're still moving with the Holy Spirit. But I truly believe that we're now on the threshold of major breakthroughs spiritually. We know because we have read it here. We know because our hearts do not condemn us anymore. We're not running back because I'm not sure oh, I've had a rotten day today, or whatever it is. We're not like the army that had a problem with Goliath. We're now the Davids who run forward towards the giants, because we now have a revelation of what has been placed in our hands, the sword of the Spirit. We're not in condemnation anymore, in fear. We have a confidence to move forward because we've asked of God, and God said, I will do it. How can we doubt that God will not bind and hold back the powers of darkness? How can we doubt that? We only doubt that because our hearts are not confident in his presence. We're dismissing what God is trying to say to the heart. We're pushing it to one side. We're burying our heads in the sands. You can't, brothers and sisters, because you'll be defeated otherwise. We're not up against flesh and blood. God has been laboring that one for years now. We're in spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. And the days are gone now where you can look to somebody else to do the praying for you or to do the binding and loosening for you. It's over to you to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying. What have I given you? What have I placed in your hand? You see, it's his word, the sword of the Spirit. He baptized us in the Spirit. And that's been a huge emphasis on this body for a number of years. For a reason. And we will find, because John, as I bring this now to a close, John brings us out here. He goes right to the root, right to the basis of the problem of why prayers are not answered. And it's that, precisely there. Now God holds back those things because we don't know until the Holy Spirit enlightens into our heart. That is the grace and mercy of God. That is the blood of the Lamb that we overcome, that covers us. But when God does highlight, when he does begin to reveal, we have to be like soldiers, ready, alert. You cannot run away. You have got to face it, and you have got to go and talk it out with God. Because it's on the basis of your heart being confident in his presence, so that you are effective. You are effective in warfare. You are powerful in prayer, because your prayers are being answered. And Satan hates all of that. He trembles. I tell you, the powers of darkness doesn't like me preaching this today. I can assure you. I know by how he tries to attack and what he tries to do. It's always such a good giveaway. How can we doubt all of this? How can we doubt when he says, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We are of the truth. Because we love the truth. We love his word. So it assures us, it gives us confidence of what it's achieving, what it's doing. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. There's the good news of the gospel. Isn't it wonderful? But whatever the situation, whatever it looks like, God knows. Because he's greater than my heart, that at the moment is condemning me. But he's shown the solution. He's shown what he can do and will do. My obedience is to go before him and not ignore it. And yield, humble, and stay there till he works it, till he changes me. That's my responsibility. And if you're doing that, then praise God, your heart does not condemn you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again, What an assurance we have in the love and mercy and grace of God. Father, you have everything under control. Oh Lord, you have our hearts under control. You have everything that we face is under control. How? And yet we still doubt you at times. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, that we can be so quick to turn away from looking to you, look to other means. Yet you never give up on us. And here we are again today, given another message, a teaching, assuring us, showing us that you're always one step ahead, and that you want to answer our prayers. You're encouraging us to ask in prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We take great delight and great comfort, Father, that you are in control, even if our circumstances look otherwise. Father, we thank you today for our fellowship. We thank you that we're able to come in fellowship and in unity and oneness, to share the love of Christ with each other, and above all, to be blessed by your presence. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord, for all those who come into the room today who have heard the word. I pray and trust that they too will be blessed by your word. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. In Jesus'
name. Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim.
So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus.